Morning, church. Welcome to CCC Highland Square. So good to be with you guys this morning. We're going to go ahead and take our offering now. Deacons, come on down if you would and serve us. This is for those of us that call this church our home. If you're a guest, a visitor, so thankful that you are here with us today. This is not for you. So just kind of let that go in front of you. If you are new and have any questions, we've got a welcome table in the back. We'd love to just have you go back and introduce yourself and we'll answer any questions that you have. But thanks for being here with us. Just a few things to put out in front of you this morning. On February 22nd at the Hudson campus, we've got a seminar. It's an all-day seminar coming up called Work as Worship. And so I don't know how you theologically view what you do from 9 to 5 every day, but my guess is that God views it a whole lot different than most of us do. And God has given us gifts and passions, and he's made us to do certain things. And it just so happens that the majority of our time we spend at work. And so God wants to transform how we see that and how we engage that. And so if you were able to get away on February 22nd and be a part of this seminar, we would love for you to be a part of it. It's going to be awesome, again, at the Hudson campus. Next thing, women's retreat coming up March 15th and 16th. The women are actually just coming off of their coffee and canvas event, which I heard was really cool, and heading right into the women's retreat. So $65 covers everything. It's actually in the valley, so it's away, but it's local, real easy to get to. So go hang out with the ladies on March 15th and 16th, okay? You guys know it's Black History Month. We're doing a new series called Seek the Welfare of the City. And we've got a resource table in the back filled with awesome books about what kind of would help us if we understood all the things in those books. It would help us become the multi-church that God has called us to be. Just a reminder, go check that out. See the titles and the books that are back there. But don't take any of the books, okay? Just a reminder, the resource table is stocked with books from our local library in the Kunkler family name. So if you take them, I'm in big trouble. So don't do that, right? So take a picture of the ones that look good and then go get them on Amazon or go to the library that's around you and pick them up. But just some great resources back there that we around here found very helpful. Okay, last thing is this. You guys know that we're in kind of initiating a strategic plan period as a church. And in order to do that, we've got to solicit a ton of information. So a lot of you guys have gotten an email. The survey is out on Facebook. And if you have not taken the 5 to 8 minutes to do that, we just encourage you to do that so we can get those responses back and hear from you. And then we'll start moving on into our next steps. But take the survey. We'll keep sending it out on Facebook. And if you would like to receive it on email, just go back to the welcome table and give us your email if you're not in the database, and we'll send it out to you. Okay, so with that, we're going to kind of launch into week two of Seek the Welfare of the City. I was meeting recently with Coach Boyd, who you guys know, who closes us out and does a whole bunch of things around here. And we were sitting down together because we were going to do a little co-sermon on seeking the welfare of the city. And so as we're sitting down, I say, Coach, when we talk about this, right, reading Jeremiah 29, what pops out to you? What comes straight up into your mind when you read this? And it was interesting, the first thing out of his mouth, and he just kind of like went there and just like started going, and he did not go where I thought he was going to go, which I love it sometimes when you ask somebody a question, you think you're going to go here, but they go here, and then you just love where they're going. And at some point in that conversation, I said, Coach, I think it's probably best if you just cut me loose and if you just do this thing all by yourself, because I love it. And obviously, God has put this on your heart. So this morning, we're just going to hear straight from Coach Boyd. He's going to open the word for us. And so I'm going to pray for him in a second. But as he comes up, would you guys give Coach Boyd a warm welcome to the stage? And I'm going to pray for us and get it.
All right.
All right. Father in heaven, thanks so much for the chance to be here. God, I pray again that you would just do what you've already done. God, do it again. Would you fall on Coach? God, would you make his words your words, your words his words? And Father, I pray that you would translate this into all of us, into our minds and our hearts. Father, help us to receive this in the way that we need to receive it, God, because it's for all of us. So I pray that you bless this time, that you would be with us and advance your purposes among us as a church, as your people, as your followers through this time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Mm-hmm. Man, giving honor to God, who is the head of my life, to my pastor, Brian Kunkler, to my brothers and sisters of the faith, and last but not least, to my wife, Stacy. She's not up here right now, so I can act any way I want to, and she won't doesn't know anything as long as you guys don't open your mouth. We'll be all right. The funny thing about Pastor Brian is that, you know, when he said, he's like, man, you know, sometimes he likes when people kind of go different, right? So he's not really, because he didn't say, man, I love him, but he said, sometimes I like it. So this is hopefully one of those times that he liked it. But it's funny kind of, because we were sitting down and meeting, and we had talked about this maybe 2 weeks before, that we were talking about doing a co-teaching together, and I was really looking forward to that. And then in the middle of the conversation, he's like, hey, why don't you just do it yourself? And I was like, I felt like you was kind of setting me up, but no problem. I just want to lean into whatever God is having us to do, and also lean into his leadership and the headship of this church. Just really, man, it's been a really great week. Our week started with, I'm gonna say this because this is where my love is, but our girls basketball team at Kenmore Garford, we won the city championship this week, Tuesday. Yes. That probably should be a standing ovation type of thing, but no pressure from me. And so that really made it a really great week for us. Coach Jones does a great job with those young ladies and what they do, and we beat Buchtel. And it was funny because they played Buchtel the first time and lost by 50. They played in the second time and lost by 20. Then they won the championship, I believe it was on Tuesday. So it was really awesome for them, man, just the behavior of our football players that win and our coaches that win were great. I was not there. You guys probably looked at me like, what? But my son, he had his own basketball game, and my nephew, they were competing against each other. So I had to put priorities first to support them. Wasn't a lot on the line, but bragging rights with them, but it's okay. And then Friday, I had to facilitate an eight-hour training that, man, honestly, I was looking forward to, but then I wasn't, because you realize it's 8 hours, and as much as I love to talk, 8 hours is a long time, so I did that with a partner of mine. Then yesterday, I was in, man, maybe a seven-hour retreat, because I serve on the board at Christ Community Chapel. It was where my children go to school at, and it was one of those things, I'll be honest, and I know he's sitting in here, who's our board chair. I wasn't looking forward to it. It was at 8 a.m, I was like, man, I'm really not looking forward to going, but it's a lot of times in life, it's the things you don't look forward to that wind up being the biggest blessing. And yesterday was a blessing to me in many different ways, because we're kind of serving this board together and you get an opportunity to know people on a deeper level, which is great. But I got confirmation about what I'm going to be speaking about today at the retreat yesterday. So that was a great thing, right? Okay, we see how this is going to go this morning. Oh, man, you guys just allow me just to come up here and just do. That's why I love y'all. That's why we get along so well. Brian just kind of lets me come up here, and I talk, and I do my bantering for a second, and then we're going to get into some word, and we're going to have a good time. We're going to praise God. But the first thing I want to tell you is that, listen, we're talking about seeking the welfare of the city, and I think it's a great message. I think it's a great series to start. But before we start really seeking the welfare of the city, that we got to do some self-checks. It's no different from when I was in college. I had this Honda Accord that I really loved. It was green, but it had blacked out windows. I mean, it was blacked out. Loved it, right? And I've always been a big Honda person. I'm sorry. It's kind of my thing. But the windows were so blacked out that you couldn't see on the inside. So when I drove in it, it was like I was mysterious. It was like, who's that? Who's that? It was really cool, right? I got some chuckles, some laughs. It's good. We're going in a good direction. And so it was like this mysterious car that nobody knew who was riding in. It was really cool. But the one thing, me not being a really car savvy fixer type of person, and, you know, I can put gas in it. That's about it, right? And when I learned how to really check my oil, it was like a big accomplishment for me, right? But I started to notice that, man, when I let go of my steering wheel, it would pull to the right sometimes, or it would pull to the left sometimes. And I was like, man, you know, what's going on? What is it? Maybe I just need some air in my tires or something like that to balance it. And the buddy was like, no, Ken, man, you need an alignment. I said, an alignment? What is that? He was like, well, man, you need to go get your car aligned so that it keeps going down the straight path. Okay? And so it kind of ties into, when we talk about seeking the welfare of the city, the one thing that I had to be mindful of on my journey of seeking the welfare of the city, and it started when I got married, was that, man, I have to be in alignment with my wife. If I'm not in alignment with Stacy, it was going to be hard for me really to seek the welfare of the city. Okay, so I want to take you kind of down through our challenges of this. When I became the head football coach over at Kenmore, we were in the process of looking for a home. And probably like many of you, but maybe not like many of you, you know, our sights were set on like Copley and looking at other places, looking at more suburbs for a home. But deep down in my heart, man, I said, man, it's always been my dream or my vision to really live in the community that I was coaching in. I was that corny guy that says, man, I want like my players walking down the sidewalk and say, man, that's where Coach Boyd lives at. And they come over, right? I was that guy. I was corny in that way, right? But that's what I grew up in, so that's what I knew. And so I knew, though, with the woman that I'd married, that that's not necessarily what she was looking for. Like, I can't go approach this woman and say, hey, I want to go live in Kenmore when she's thinking about living in the suburbs and she wants a four-bedroom home and yada, yada, this, that, and the third. And I don't know if we're going to find that in Kenmore. So one day she comes to me and she says, hey, babe, what do you think about living in Kenmore? I said, you know, I don't know, babe. It's whatever you want to do. You know, what's the best thing for... what's the best thing for you and what you want to do? And, you know, I'm going to be subservient to you because you've given me all these beautiful children. I didn't do all that, but I can pour it on like that. I use that to this day. And so when she said that, it was like, man, wow, right? We're going to start going in a direction. And so as we do this process, I began to talk to her about how I saw myself as a head coach. And I said, babe, I want this to be a ministry for us, meaning that I want these young men not just to be young men that I coach and they see me and I'm blowing a whistle and I'm yelling at and I'm pointing to her, but I said I really want to invite them into our home to see who we are, to really know us at a deeper level. And so she was like, okay, babe, well, how do you want to do that? I said, man, I don't know, but maybe we can just start off by having them come to our house on Sundays and we break bread together. And so we begin to do that. But again, we're all in alignment. We're in agreement that, okay, yeah, we're going to set out on this on our own, right? And so this morning, Stacy reminded me of way back when, and I don't know if you guys know, but there used to be a plasma place on the corner of Brown and Exchange years ago, across from the University of Akron. And I used to wake up at about 4:30 and go serve hot chocolate to people that would stand out there and wait for them to open because they wanted to give plasma so they can get money. And so she reminded me of that this morning. But then it goes back to, I couldn't have done that if she wasn't getting up with me to actually make the cocoa. And so again, we're talking about alignment. But then further, we're talking about seeking the welfare of the city. And how do we do this as a married couple? How do we do this as people? And if we're married, we've got to make sure we align with our partner, because if we're not, I can have a vision and desire to seek the welfare of the city. But if my partner is saying, man, I don't know if I can get in with that, now you're going to be battling on two fronts. On the front end, you're going to be battling on, man, Lord, how much am I going to be obedient to what you've called me to do or the vision that you've given me? Okay? Well, on this side, I'm like, God, I got to go do life with this person. I got to live with her. And you know her better than I do, man. She ain't that nice of a person if I make her upset. Okay? And so what begins to happen is we become like that green Honda Accord with the black tinted windows bumping. I had a little system there too, just so y'all know. I was riding right. To where, man, because I'm having this, I'm either going to pull to the left or I'm going to pull to the right. So that's why I have to be aligned. But when the alignment is there, everything works great, right? We reach the full potential of what it means to seek the welfare of the city. But when we're misaligned, then we don't. We wind up battling between really seeking and trying to convince our partner or our spouse that, man, this is why we need to do this. Or we say, man, Lord, I can't do that right now because I want to keep this right, right? We just got out of a season of maybe being misaligned and being upset with each other, and I don't want to get back in that. But by not doing maybe the vision of what God has caused me to do, I become kind of resentful over here, though, over time. I begin to resent Stacy, and I begin to resent that, man, why could you just submit to my vision? Uh-oh. Why couldn't you just submit to the call that I'm telling you God has given me? And then like a really good husband, I went to the scripture that says, wives, submit to your husbands, right? Because that's really what it means, and I'm really going to take that out of context, right? And say, hey, this is what the word says. And then we wind up in a state of not even seeking the welfare of the city, but now we begin to seek the welfare of our marriage. That we're aligned, that we're okay, because, man, maybe we wasn't together. So again, we got to come back to a place of alignment. And so through that, we obviously have managed to do that, and we're really flowing in a good place in our ministry. And, you know, we got these young men coming over, and we're really establishing this football program ministerially wise, and we're doing things, and everything's going really well. And, you know, Stacy hits me and says, hey, what do you think about, man, my sister moving in with us? Mind you, this is the sister that don't love Brother Kemp like y'all love Brother Kemp. Now, y'all could all ask, come live with me. I said, yeah, come on, but the sister-in-law didn't love me that way. But I said, you know what? Because now it goes back to the agreement or the alignment that we made when we first got married. And we went before God as a couple and we said, God, whatever home you give us is not ours, but it's yours. So whoever you bring to us, whoever has a need to stay with us, Lord God, give us the room and the capacity to minister to people in that way. And so that's what we did. And as a result, we had many different people come and live with us. We had families come and live with us for a season or for a time that needed it, man, and glory to God. But it was because we were in alignment with one another. And then, you know, everybody knows, man, we got a trough full of children. But there was a time in our marriage that we just had four. And that's what I'd asked God for. I said, God, I want four children. And I want a set of twins, and God blessed me with that. And I asked for the twins even before we had conceived them. I said, God, I wrote out a vision statement. I was in grad school, and I said, I want a set of twins, and God blessed me with a set of twins, and I had four children. These four children were self-sufficient, meaning that they could get up, they could put on their clothes, they were all potty trained, there was no diapers. Man, life was really, really good. It's good times. Good times. Oh, Pastor Brian knows it's good times, brother. And so then my wife comes to me, because it's not just about my wife being subservient to the call that God has given me, but I have to be able to be subservient to the vision and the call of ministry that God has given my wife. So she comes up to me one day and she says, hey, I just got a call from CSB and they want to know if we can take in this child. And in my mind, I'm like, well, man, we've never really had this conversation. And I got a whole bunch of children of my own, plus the guys that I coach that are like my kids, so, and I'm just kind of sitting there. Because, see, a year before this, she had had a dream and a vision that we were going to be raising this young man who was a mother, who was the child of a mother that she used to minister to. And she woke me up a year before in the middle of the night saying, hey, God just gave me this vision that we're going to be raising her child. And I probably just rolled over and said, okay, man, that's good, and pat on the head, and I roll back over. But I forgot in rolling back over that usually when God gives Stacy something, he gives her things through dreams and visions. And so when she comes to me about, hey, this is what I want to do, I said, well, man, didn't you have this dream a year ago? And so, mind you, I got my four kids, and everything is fine, and everybody's self-sufficient, and everybody's out of diapers. And then arrives this three-week-old baby at our doorstep that we've had now for 2 years, who's probably been more of a blessing into my life than I have for his. But when you clap, please don't clap for me, but clap for Stacy because she obeyed the call. You clap for me because I submitted myself to the vision that God gave her. Because it wasn't about me and what Kemp needed to do, because Kemp has all these dreams and goals and aspirations. But it's about what we aligned ourselves with when we first got married, of who we're going to be as a married couple and the ministry that we were going to have. And so Stacy has this ministry to where she ministers to teenage moms that's called the Connect over at First Glance. And she's had a desire to want to do this. So now, again, it's a little interruption to our home, because I've been used to Stacy being home. And Brother Kemp likes when Stacy's home. Things are just put away and put up when Stacy's home. Meals get cooked when Stacy's home. But see, it wasn't about me, it was about the call that God had given her, that I needed to align with her with the call. See, it wasn't about me. But we're talking about seeking the welfare of the city and the importance of being aligned with our spouse. And I'm going to get to you single people in a minute. But it's about us being aligned with our spouse in such a miraculous way that nothing hinders the move of God's Spirit when we talk about seeking the welfare of the city. See, I can have been a detriment to the move of her ministry by complaining, by saying, well, why? And saying, well, man, can somebody else do that? But I had to put all that on the back burner so that God could move through our marriage and through what we were doing. Because it wasn't about me and it wasn't about her, but it was about what God wants to do. Amen? Let's go to Genesis chapter 15. I want to give you an example of alignment versus misalignment. It's titled, God's Covenant with Abram. And it reads, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, for I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. Man, that's a heck of a greeting. Right? That's a heck of a greeting, man. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward will be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house will be Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And it's funny how Abram here, like, says the same thing twice, just differently. He says the same thing twice like God didn't hear him or like God didn't understand. He goes on to say, hey, man, listen, I continue to be childless, and my heir will be Eliezer of Damascus. And then he says, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. Done deal. So it is written, because God said it. He even goes on to tell him, he brought him outside and said, look toward the heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And it said that he, meaning Abram, believed the Lord, and it counted unto him as righteousness. Glory be to God in the highest. Amen? Amen? There we go. Good. Let's go over to chapter 16. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, who had borne no children, she had a female Egyptian servant whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said to Abram, behold, now the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go into my servant, it may be that I shall obtain a children by her. And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. Stop and hold the press. What in the world just happened? Hold on, go outside, count the stars. If you're able to count them, that's how your offspring is going to be. Boom, he believed, counted him as righteous, goes back to Sarai. Hey, listen, go into my maidservant. Abraham listens. What? Somebody tell me, where was the disconnect? See, when we talk about alignment, see, as much as Abram was aligned here, he wasn't aligned with his spouse. And I didn't see anywhere where he actually went back and told his spouse, hey, listen, I just had this great conversation with God, right? And this is what God told me. And man, you know what? I just believe God. So now when Sarah brought him this nonsense, he'd be like, hey, man, woman, I rebuke you. That ain't going down because that's not what God told me. But I like how it says right here that it said that, and Abram listened to the voice of Sarah. Abram listened to her voice. But the God Almighty just spoke to you. See, God is never going to do anything that takes him out of alignment of how things should be. God told him that your descendants will be so great, you won't even be able to number them. And hallelujah for all his descendants that I see out before me. Glory be to God. But he goes back to his wife. Why? Because they're not in alignment. They're not in agreement. Because look at what Sarah says. She was like, God has prevented me from bearing children. So she's already put her fault on God that it's God's fault that this has happened. And so because God's fault or God hasn't moved in the time that she would like, she says, man, I'm going to take matters in my own hand. Sounds like anybody? Sounds like me. I've taken matters in my own hand when I feel like, man, God ain't moving fast enough. God really didn't hear my prayer. He really didn't hear what I had to say, right? So therefore, I move out of alignment. Because I'm not aligned vertically. And then going back to vision, right? God told Abram one thing and gave Abram the call or the vision of what he was going to do. But he got out of alignment with God's vision. Why? Because why? He wanted to go and please his wife. He wanted to make his wife happy. He wanted to say, hey, babe, it's going to be okay, and look what I'm going to do. But let's see, man, the trouble that it gets Abram into. Verse 4 says, and when he went into Hagar, and she conceived, and when she saw, the she here is Sarah, that she had conceived, she looked with contempt on her mistress. She wasn't happy. And Sarah said to Abram, may the wrong done to me be on you. Hold up. This was your idea. You pulled me into this. Right? The same thing. When we get out of alignment, God gives us a call. God gives us a vision to go seek the welfare of the city. God shows us how he wants us to do that from a ministerial standpoint. Then we go into the wife, and when she tells us something, she blames me for it. But I know that's happened to none of you guys in your houses, right? Really great marriages here, man. We went to the marriage intensives. Everything went great, I know. But we have to think about and consider that. But I've been in that situation where, man, God didn't move when I wanted to move. I took matters in my own hands. I went about my own devices. And then it don't go right and it blows up. And I'm like, man, listen, Stacy, why'd you let that child do that? I told you never, ever allow them to do that. She's looking at me like, what? But they got out of alignment because why? Sarah had blamed God. Had put it on God and said, hey, here's the alternative. Just because God doesn't move, we want him to move, doesn't mean that he still doesn't hear our prayer. Doesn't mean that he still don't want to do great things for us. Doesn't mean that he still don't have a plan and a purpose for our life. Doesn't mean that, man, he doesn't want to seek wealth for the city, but he just wants us to do it from a standpoint of alignment. First of all, with him, then with our spouse, and then he expands it even to our church. Alignment is a very powerful thing that can move people either to the good or to the bad. When you really have alignment in your life, man, things become easier to take on, and I'm not fostering the burden on myself. See, when we're all sitting here and we're aligned as a church body, and we'll line up with our pastor, and we'll say, hey, when Pastor Brian gets us here to preach, and we align with what he's preaching, we align with what he's saying, guess what happens? The burden doesn't become so heavy on Pastor Brian. But we all love Pastor Brian, right? We all give Pastor Brian a hug. We say, hey, man, what's up? We dap him up, the hug and all that. But how many of us have really taken the burden that he preaches every Sunday and said, man, brother, I don't want you to carry that on your own. So in order for me not to do that, I'm going to align with your vision. I'm going to align with the vision that you're giving our church, and I'm going to walk in it. And understand, you don't have to like it. See, we get too caught up in feeling like, well, man, for me to really get aligned, I really got to like what's being said. No, you don't. You think I like all the time, man, when God tells me no? But I'm going to line up with his no instead of going with my yes. Because my yes is going to have me like Abram talking about, it wasn't me, it was her. And I think that happened before in Scripture with Adam and Eve, right? Because they wasn't aligned, they ate the apple, and then they went hiding. Hey, but, and why is it that? It's, this wasn't even in my notes, but. Why is it that these women are just leading these men the wrong way? I just had to throw that in there just to make sure y'all's awake. Amen. But let's think about that. And let's really think about, man, our alignment process and where we are. Okay? One of the things that I think in my lifetime that I don't think about a lot, but I really regret, is I didn't leverage my singleness well. I didn't leverage my singleness really well. And I know we have a lot of students that come in, but man, I can remember, man, I knew how to kick it. I knew how to party. I did all that really well. But I really didn't run for God well, because I felt like, man, I'll run for God when I get older or when I get married. But in my singleness, I really didn't leverage that, I think, the way God wanted me to. So for people that are single, I know, like, there's this thing in your mind because you see people around you getting married or your girlfriends, and, you know, maybe you've been the maid of honor or whatever that stuff is called a number of different times, and you're like, man, I kind of want that for myself. What I want to tell you is don't get blinded by that. Don't get discouraged by that, because God wants to use you even more in your singleness. God wants you to run even more in your singleness. You know why? Because you don't have the distractions that I got. You ain't got this woman that you got to worry about all the time that she gets on my nerves, and I didn't say that, but she's not up here, so y'all don't tell her that either, right? But you don't have this woman that you have to be concerned about. We had a small group meeting a couple of weeks ago, and the sister is in our small group, and we were talking, and she was like, yeah, I ain't got to check in with nobody, do nothing. I can just go. And I saw Stacy look at her with an envious look like, and I said, now, hey, sister, we got a good thing too now. Come on. But in your singleness, you can run a lot faster than I can, because the only relationship you have is with the Father. That's the only one you have. That's who you're married to. And so when God is telling you to seek the welfare of the city, he's giving you a vision, man, go run with that thing. Go move. Don't wait. Don't talk yourself out of it. Don't second guess it. Don't think, well, man, is this really God? And you know how we do. We play that movie in our mind. I'm encouraging you to go run. And not just me, but take it from Paul, right? Paul, in First Corinthians chapter 7, he talks about marriage. And he talks about the benefits of being single. He talks about how, man, when you're single, you don't have to worry about the affairs of the world when you're single, because your thought is more on what God wants to do and what God is doing. So let's go there. Verse 32. It says, I want you to be free from anxiety. The unmarried person is anxious about the things of the Lord and how to please the Lord. See, that's the beauty of singleness. You're worried about the things of God and how do I please him? Not how do I please my mate? Not how do I please the kids and take care of them, but how do I please the Lord? But the married person is anxious about worldly things and how to please his wife or her husband, and his interests are divided. And the unmarried, see, that's the thing, right? My interest, as much as I love the Lord, When God gives me something, I still got to go talk to this over here with Stacy. We got to go have a conversation about it. So it's slowing me up a little bit, not too much, because God wants us to be in agreement. He wants us to be aligned. But as a single person, man, you just get up and run. God speaks something to you, man, you gone, right? God says something to you, Sarah, man, you can run right now. Ain't nothing you got to do. God says, hey, Sarah, I want you to go start a church and plant a church over this way. It's going to be scary because Sarah ain't never planted no church before. But, man, you know what? All right, God, I'm moving. I'm rocking. I'm going. But if I say something to Julie Dahl, Julie got to go talk to Tom, and then that's going to be a minute, and that could be a month before that conversation's over. Just because I know Tom, amen? That's the problem with sitting in the front, man, with me. I'm on, you know. Yeah, man, let's call people out. Why not? It's fun. But that's the beauty of your singleness. So I want you to take pride. All you single people, take pride in that. Don't run and feel like, man, I want to get married and run to marriage. Because that's a lot of times we run to go get married to somebody. It ended up being the wrong person anyway. Because if I would have married who I thought I wanted, Brother Kim might not be standing here. Because Stacy wasn't the person I wanted to marry. She wasn't. But that was the person God had called me to. God showed me Stacy in a dream and said, hey, man, that's your wife. And I said, God, you sure? True story. And I told her this. I said, man, listen, I don't know. You look mean. You look rough around the edges. I don't know. Right? But here's the thing that God showed me. He's like, listen, yeah, you want to be married. But he's like, I will bring you a woman to be faithful to when you learn how to be faithful to me. When you learn how to be faithful to me and my call for your life, then I'll send you something. Like I see, when you're about God's business and you ain't worried about all the things of the world and that what's going on, he'll provide exactly what it is you need. I think there's a scripture that says, seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, all those things is just what it says. It's all the things, all the stuff that your heart so desires. When I put my attention on seeking him first, he's already go ahead and gathering that for me. So if you be about your father's business as you're working in the vineyard, as you're going out and working and doing ministry, what God will show you is God will show you your spouse is out there working right alongside of you. Sometimes our spouse is not caught up in the way that we have dreamt about them being, amen. It's not that, what y'all watch, that Lifetime movie, right, where it's not a slow-mo thing that when y'all turn, y'all be and y'all connect eyes. No, man, it's not reality. A lot of times when you meet the person you're meeting, it's because, man, we were in the vineyard together and we were doing missional work. Our hands were dirty. Our faces were dirty, amen. My hair wasn't combed when I had it. But it's about aligning with God, and it's about doing the things of God and being in that alignment with him and allowing him to use us in a mighty way, not getting so discouraged and caught up like, man, you know, hey, I'm not married and there's no prospects. Yeah, it is. You got the best prospect out. You're aligned with God and you're married to him. And then it comes back full circle to us as a church. We come here, we do this together, man, this is beautiful, man, I love you guys. We have a great time in praise and worship. Pastor, man, pours his heart out, man, and he studies and he does all these type of things. But my challenge I want to give to y'all, man, have we really aligned with the mission and the vision of this church? Really? Because just because you come don't mean you've aligned yourself. Are we really going to align ourselves, man, with what's being preached and what's being taught and the vision that he's setting forth to us? Are we really going to align ourselves and say, hey, man, listen, I don't necessarily understand it all. I don't necessarily say that, man, yeah, I sign off on everything. But, man, I believe in the Holy Spirit that's in him. I believe that God has placed this man here to be the head of this church. And I'm going to fall in line with what's happening, what's going on. And if you got to go get your spouse together to talk to them because they think about, man, I think I want to leave, well, you better have that conversation because right now, man, this place right here is going to the next level of wow in him. And I don't say this, man, for Brian's sake, man. I love that brother, man. I don't say this for him. But God taught me a long time ago, man, about the importance of order, about the importance of alignment, about the importance of headship. And it's not about, man, him telling us what to do. That's not, I don't want y'all to get misunderstood by that. His responsibility is to shepherd the flock. And sometimes as sheep, and what we need to be as sheep is sometimes just dumb. Because why? We need to be led. We need to stop trying to lead, because what begins to happen is we start going with the next phase of alignment by what somebody else says. Well, pastor says this, well, I think it's go this. And then next thing you know, man, we got 10 different alignments. And we're going 150,000 different type of ways, and nothing's getting accomplished. And then we sit back and we say, well, man, why ain't we doing more in the church? What do you mean? Have we really all come under the alignment of what the vision is of the church? Because God is going to give the vision down through the pastor. Why? Because we serve a God of order. He ain't going to give me the vision. That's the beauty of what we're doing. That's the beauty of what I took out of our meeting yesterday. Man, I need to get some things in line. Sometimes in my home, sometimes in my personal life, I got to get some things in line. Sometimes in my church, I got to get some things in line, man. Am I doing enough? Because Brian tells me all the time, he's like, oh, Kemp, I was going to call you, man, but I know you got a lot of stuff you're already doing, and I don't want to burden you. I'm like, man, listen, I spent my 20s, man, doing nothing. Real talk. I spent my 20s, man, getting high, chasing women. I wasted my time. I didn't leverage that well. This is why I run the way I run now. This is why I put so much stuff on my plate that my plate got sideboards. Why? Because, man, I got to run for him, man. It ain't a marathon for me, saints. This is a sprint because I only got one life. And God's got too much stored up in me that I have to accomplish and do. So it ain't about, oh, man, I need to take a breath or a rest. And I tell him, man, I said, man, you need me, you call on me. I am subservient to your headship and your leadership. And I'm telling you this now in front of the whole congregation. You understand me? So the next time you don't do it, you sinning. Now I'm getting carried away. But that's how sold out we got to be for the faith, for the body, and for the kingdom. That, hey, I might not like it, I might not understand. I didn't like all the time, man, the rules my parents gave me. But I aligned myself with them because I didn't, I was going to get a whooping. And sometimes we don't like it, man, but God whoops us, amen. So he chastens us, man. Why? Because he's got to get us back into alignment. Because sometimes we get too far outside of this, man. That's not what he wants. Let's remember that as we go further and we go deeper, not in our separate and siloed spaces, but as we do this together, understand, man, God wants us to be aligned with him. He wants us to be aligned in our marriages, and he wants us to be aligned as a church family, that we can go and truly seek the welfare of the kingdom. Because when we really do that, man, look at the abundance and look at the manifestation, man, that he'll have. Because we're drawing all men unto him that he will be lifted up and glorified, not us. Not CCC Highland Square, man, but the kingdom of God. Because we're preaching the gospel, and it's unhindered. We're no different than the apostles on Pentecost. And you can read about that in Acts. But God, in Acts chapter 1, told them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem. He said, don't leave Jerusalem until the fulfillment of the promise that I gave you. And then when you go into chapter 2, it talks about how they was in the upper room and they had all things common. Listen, man. They wasn't in different rooms of a house, man. They were all in the same room just like we are now together. And the fulfillment of God's promise came, and it came by way of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit had to come down and rest and set upon them, that it was tongues of fire, they said, that set upon them. And man, they spoke all different types of languages, and they spoke in tongues. Before they could be sent out, they had to be aligned. Before they could go establish churches, Jesus had to make sure that you're aligned with my spirit and with one another. Until then, don't leave Jerusalem. Until that happens, don't leave. What if that was said to us? What if God said, hey, man, you can't go home, man, it's y'all in alignment. until you're truly aligned one with the other. That's why Paul had such a hard time with the apostles. Why? Because he wasn't in that room with them. That meant something to be a part of that. That meant something to be in that upper room, man, and you see the fulfillment of God's promise and of his spirit. Come on up here. Our worship team, come on, come on, come on. I know. I see the clock. It's ticking. But listen. That's a powerful thing, man. God, Jesus gave them a command not to leave, not to go. Don't leave Jerusalem until the fulfillment of the promise. Don't go anywhere. And they all went into this room together. Man, I don't know how small that room was. I don't know what was in it, but they stayed there, man. Man, that's, woo, goodness gracious. Man, that was a powerful thing, man. They didn't leave one another. They had just seen their leader be crucified. He got back up, raised from the dead, and spoke with them and had communion with them. But in the last day, he said, man, don't go nowhere until this happens. Father in heaven, man, thank you. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for you aligning us, aligning this ministry, Father God, to the vision that you've gave us. Align us, Father God. That, Father God, we know that, man, it's you that are moving and that's moving through us. Keep us on that. You know, even when we feel we go to the left or to the right, Father God, we pray that by your spirit and the spirit that lives in our brothers and sisters, that they can help to bring us back in alignment with the word and the vision and the call that you have given unto us. Help us to walk, Father God, in a way that is worthy of the calling that you have called us. And Lord God, continue to strengthen us along this path, that we will love you and love others well with all of our hearts, mind, soul, and spirit, and that we can love our neighbors as we love ourselves. These things we pray and declare in your Son's name.